2010. This is the Phil and Bill Show. Bill and I will be your road captains this evening. What we're going to touch on today is I'd like to give some kudos out to four new members of Bolt. Phil Horn out of North Carolina, Donnie Landsman out of Washington State, John Fenderbook of South Carolina, and John Dalkey of Northern California.
Hey, what do you mean they're new members? So they just joined up recently? What type of work are they doing? What's their involvement?
What type of work is Donnie should call in later. We're going to talk about his legislation that he's enacting up in Washington State.
Oh, good.
About motorcycle profiling, a bill to stop it. And then the other thing we're going to touch on is
a lot of people, Phil and I try to get all our emails. We'll tell you what, guys. For some reason, people really keep asking us, can we talk about the Internal Affairs case? So let's touch up on that this evening, okay? I thought we had done it, but a lot of people want to know what we did, how we did it, how can they do it. So we'll do everything we can to help everybody. Right, Phil?
That's correct.
All right. You want to jump and start us off there, brother?
So what happened was with the emails, people have been sending me emails about what happened with Internal Affairs at Oceanside PD. So basically what happened is this is a story that contains news of an advanced liberty for Southern California. For all the troops who are currently deployed, you have heard disheartening horror stories from back home about widespread interruption of civil liberties in America. Be hopeful and assured that there are patriots at home trying to bring improvement to the system to the best of their abilities, so rather than less, there will be more liberty when you return home. So this is basically how me as the author and my brother-in-arms, Bill, became involved in a movement to stop the counter nannyism. So I'm gonna turn it over to Bill right now.
Before we get started, I want to tell everybody, Phil and I are not politicians. We're not running for any office. We have no hidden agenda. We are simply two motorcyclists, two friends that became a little bit upset in our own community, and we want to do something about it. Everything that we've done here tonight, everything we've done in the past month, this is what you guys can do. You just got to step up to the plate and try it. If you make a mistake or two, you'll get over it. This show here, Phil and I made several adjustments. We've gone on. So let me tell you something. Back on July 1st, Philip was riding his motorcycle like he does an awful lot. It was a great day to get into the wind. He had a nice ride until he was rudely interrupted by one of Oceanside PD's finest. That word's sticking in my throat a little bit, but we're going to get it out. There's supposed to be some laws in this country prevent LEOs from stopping people for no reason. So Philip figures he must have been confused with some criminal. All he was doing was living life and pursuing happiness the best way he knows how. Phil's a family man. He works for a living. He works with the government. He's riding his motorcycle home from work. That's all he was doing. Getting into great outdoors rather than stay inside. He didn't want to drive his car or his truck. By the way, he's got a nice El Camino. The sound of the V-twin engine roaring somewhere between his testicles. No, you know what? That's Phillip's writing. That ain't me saying that, folks. Anyway, Phillip's travels were interrupted because the police officer didn't like what he was wearing. He was glad to find out he's not confused with one of the 10 most wanted. However, he didn't like the fact that the government was suddenly treating him like an outlaw for no reason. Going to work, riding your motorcycle, going home to your family. This is pretty basic stuff. We're not robbing 7-Eleven. He's just an average Joe, just like you and I.
I don't have a tattoo of Born to Lose on my forehead.
It seems that the officers prefer the motorcycles wear a helmet more to his liking rather than the one they choose for themselves. And Philip did not consult him first. So what kind of helmet does he prefer? How did he know, since he didn't call him up before he handed them out? Maybe a helmet that meets with his approval has to be some lousy aerodynamics and be heavy in order to make the neck strain. And you know what? The past year or two, those helmets have been real bad. I've had a lot of bad motorcycle wrecks from desert racing. My neck hurts an awful lot. Those heavy helmets do aggravate me.
But Bill, you got to tell everybody, that's only your winter helmet.
Well, my winter helmet is one of the new lightweights. I have a full-face winter helmet I'm wearing recently. But I'm saying that a couple years ago, those full-face helmets were very heavy. It is much, much lighter. I have my summer helmet, but you know what? It's cold out. So I figured, you know what? This is America. I'm going to do what I want to do, just as much as I respect your right for you to do what you want to do.
Absolutely. Even though we went head-to-head for a few weeks.
Oh, God. Well, you know, Phil, you and I have been going head-to-head since the day we met, brother. Come on now. Phil and I are two good guys. We see things differently, like most of you guys out there. You all got good friends. You don't have to agree on everything. This keeps this country. By the way, Phil and I are two Americans. We're both veterans. Again, I point out, we don't have any office. We never run for anything. Phil was a member of Bolt. I'm not even a member of Bolt. We have see things differently. But we realize that we sit down, we can get something done. You guys listening out there or hear the show later, you can do the same thing. Ask what you can do to improve your community. Look around. There's changes you need out there. So we get back to Philip again, Gabe. Okay, so. Yeah, so I'm going to jump a little bit in there. Okay, then. Philip didn't know what was wrong with the general's attitude. What's wrong with this cop here?
Actually, I thought a guy in a Harley bopped his old lady and he was pissed off.
See, there's two ways to present yourself, too. There's a way Philip presents and the way I present like them. Anyway, this officer rattled off some things he thought made the lawful helmet. Phil, you occasionally meet people with a bad attitude. Oh, bad breath, farts a lot, or have a booger hanging from their nose. Phil meets nice people. But he's not going to file charges against them and bring them to court for offending sensibilities. The officer must have disliked his helmet an awful lot because he ticketed Philip. And Philip is misunderstood an awful lot, folks. He's out there and just trying to go down the road, and he's getting picked on a lot. Now, let's get down to the meat of this. That was on July 1st this year. Last year. Just 3 days later, though, and this country's going to celebrate independence from an oppressive government under the King of England. Looks like we've gone full circle. And maybe we need that tea party again, you know, get down there to San Diego and throw this tea in there and the hell with England. I listened to the president speak last night. I don't know. I'm waiting for somebody to say we're going to do something to make this country better. And this president spoke more times than any president's ever spoken. Last week he spoke and he was very negative. This week he's trying to be more positive about it. But Philip, I don't think I've gotten the message anything different.
I didn't either. I'm still confused. It's 364 days, and all I keep hearing about is we're going to spend more stimulus money. But the money that they spent in the beginning was supposed to keep the job, keep the people without jobs under 10%. What are we, 11.2? And it was supposed to keep it at 8%. We're beyond that now. None of the stuff that they talked about, I haven't seen anything in the community happening. Have you, Bill?
No. Except for every week people come into my motorcycle shop and they say goodbye to me because they got laid off or they're business owners, they've had to shut the doors down. We have another friend of ours going to shut his doors down next Monday. I mentioned that to you. We won't say his name on the air because I feel bad about it, but every single week somebody comes in and says goodbye to me. They have to leave this area, move back in with family. They got to do something. And I feel bad for these people, but I try to tell them they don't have a drug problem. They don't have an alcohol problem. They don't have a gambling problem. They've done nothing wrong. It's just that the economy right now is breaking our balls.
Absolutely.
There's nothing we can do. These people that they've lost their houses, folks, you didn't do anything wrong. You trusted the people. We trust those real estate people, those brokers out there. Oh, I love you brokers out there. You kept telling us, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. And I tell you what, when the economy hit real bad, I think I personally bought every broker's motorcycle in San Diego because those guys went right off the edge first. But they kept telling us up to the very end, we're okay.
Mm-hmm.
So we trusted the experts. The expert told us,
hang in there, guys.
It's okay. It's okay. And then we woke up, and it wasn't okay. And this is a terrible experience for America. I don't know if it's going to make us stronger. I don't know if we're ever going to get out of this. This could go on and on.
No, it's just like that guy, Bill, that Madoff.
Yeah, oh, my God.
He had all the movie stars. He had all the rich people and everything. And he got away with it. They couldn't find the money, so they took everything.
They still can't find, yeah.
Yeah, they took everything he owned.
He's trying to put his money in his wife's name and everything. She said, I didn't know anything about that. I don't know the money in that. It wasn't millions. It was billions, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
It was
like
something so stupid.
40 billion.
Okay, so let me get back to Bill. Phil got a ticket. He's riding down the road minding his own business. And actually, I think this one time, because Phil was coming home from work, he wasn't even speeding. He was just trying to get on home. So he's a little bit irritated. He went to a computer, started looking stuff up. Everybody, if you don't have a computer, you can go to a library. You can find a computer. Phil decided that right here in California, we have some of the best helmet law fighters in the country. Bolt of California. Has been fighting helmet tickets since 1992. Has made great progress and says they can help people how to fight helmet tickets. information he picked up because of this computer, this internet system. The system allows all of us Americans to communicate back and forth. Pick up the phone, you talk to us from New York, Sacramento, it doesn't matter. We're people talking to people. We have such an advantage over everybody. And this crap in China going on right now, they're trying to jam the computer. No, this is free speech right here.
Absolutely.
Okay, now, after hours of surfing the net, I want to get back to Phil's ticket here, guys. Hang in there now. He found Red Hinkey, Steve Red Baron. Now, actually, I got to tell you, I know Red Baron, I would say 20 years probably. I wasn't involved in the politics, sir. I wasn't involved in everything Red Baron was doing. We have Mark Temple and John Del Santo. They are Bolt. Some helmet law defense.
Let me correct you, Bill. John is a bait six out of San Diego.
And some are a bait six out of San Diego.
There you go.
Okay. And you know, John's got a lovely wife, Fran. We don't want to ignore Fran, too. So, Fran, hello. John, hello. All these people helped Philip get in the right direction with the information he needed. He needed court cases, legal briefs, appeal papers, and reading all the history these guys gave him. Having read and reviewed all the input, he knew he was on the right track. Phil is an average guy. I'm not making fun of Phil here. I just want you to understand what we have done here, what Philip has done by taking a little bit of time. You can do this, guys. So Phil comes down and talks to me. We ride an awful lot together. My name is Bill Kennedy. I'm in Oceanside. Phil and I are both military vets. And he said to me, Bill, what do you think about this? I said, Phil, listen to this, folks. I said, why don't you just pay the ticket? And I know a lot of you bold guys saying, oh, no. I'm just saying, just pay the ticket. You know what? It's not Phil's way. Phil said it's principle. It's his right to decide whether or not to wear a helmet. When you're going to jump in, so jump in.
Yeah, well, actually, Bill, that's when you told me that this had been going on for 3 months. And because I've been working, I went to days instead of nights. I didn't have time to go over and see you during the day. Mm-hmm. And I didn't stop there on my way home for a couple of months, and that's when I found this out when you told me in the shop.
Yeah. Well, you said your principles don't allow you to surrender your liberty so quickly. And you asked me again several months later, what do I think? And I'm saying, look at the mountain you're trying to climb. Just pay the ticket. But he said to me, you know, he feels that this is wrong. Phil's going to draw a line in the sand, and this is something he wants to do. I've always listened to Philip. When he puts his mind down, he's like a bulldog. He's not going to let go of it. I realized Phil was completely 100% into this program. So I started to get a little more knowledge. He and I went in the offense by making this fight not just Phil's, but for everybody's. He wants to give us information. We want to share this. Now, we have network now, mostly Philip's network, folks. I don't do that much work here. People from all over the country and are part of a movement which began years ago. We discovered that when people began taking action on their own, they could become leaders in their own portion of that movement. You can control your neighborhood. You can go out there and tell the people how to do it. Let me tell you about the object. It's simple. Bring changes to the system so the police do not pull over motorcycles and harass or ticket them over motorcycle helmets. We believe this can be achieved. And my pet peeve of this, I got to add, is motorcycle stops. Know your rights. Do not be afraid of the police. Know your rights. And when you've stopped, Philip, what do I always say?
Shut up.
Hey, make it easy. Stop making
but
it easy.
But also to tell you about when we were talking about that,
yeah. You
were very surprised when I told you about the checkpoints they were going to do and that they were going to do 9 each in 2 cities down here by us. And you were flabbergasted.
Well, the information I didn't know was absolutely overwhelming. It was like a mountain of information that it comes on every day, and the average guy doesn't pay attention.
That's true.
You know,
after all these years, I was able to teach you something.
Yeah, well, you know, when you're right, you're right. You know, I'll write this down. Write the date and the time down. You were right.
I already did.
I will probably not say that again, but by God, you're right this time. So now what are Phil and I doing? We're drumming up support, and we're convinced that with the help of others, that's you out there, we will win in Southern California, Northern California, all of the states. In movements like this, every step forward strengthens our resolve and brings us closer to that object. The remainder of this article is about one recent victory in Oceanside. Do you want to break a little more into this here?
Go ahead.
No, go jump a little bit in that thing, because, you know, people might get tired of hearing my voice.
Well, like you said, Bill, the agreement to cease the helmet hostilities
Actually, my voice is better than yours. Maybe I should read.
No, that's okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Let me try.
Go ahead.
Let me try. Anyway, after months of reading all the legal briefs and asking all the questions, you know, and being a regular guest on the different shows, Biker Lowdown and both Liberty Calling Hour.
Those are good shows, too. We learned a lot from those people. Guys, thank you much, guys.
Absolutely. And, you know, I was ready. I at that point, I felt I was ready to take them on for the helmet ticket. But actually, when I went to court,
It's a big process,
yes. I took it head on, and what happened when I got to court with all the information that I had, the only thing they found me guilty of, they didn't find me guilty of not wearing a helmet or not wearing a safety helmet as Officer Leo decided I needed to wear. They found me guilty because I didn't have the label inside the helmet. So they did that, and that was part of the basis for my appeal, which, by the way, I won. And
yeah.
when I went for the IA complaint, at first, they didn't want to talk to me because they said if I was appealing, it was still an involved court case, so they couldn't talk to me. So once I found out that I had won, I called and made an appointment, and the guy still didn't want to talk to me. So that's when I went around him, and I walked outside, and I filled a complaint on him, and I walked back in, and I turned it in. Then finally, he called me, and they tried to, you know, check my background. They found out I had a few, few things here and there, and they found out I had a short temper, and I did some things I'm not sorry for doing it, but at the point when it happened, I had to do it. So they just, he just was being a total prick. And finally, you know,
I'm sorry for interrupting. This is it. He was trying to use control again. They thought they were not accountable to us, the community people. This is the big essence of the whole program. They thought they were above even saying why they're doing something. This is why I'm glad you stepped in there, you know?
Right. And somebody typed into the chat, was it the state versus Philip or was it the Oceanside versus Philip? Well, it started out as Oceanside versus Philip. And then when I went to court, it turned into state because they decided to find me guilty for not having the FMS 218 label inside the helmet, which, by the way, you don't have to have the label in the helmet. It's only at the time of manufacture and at sale. After that, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration chief counsel sent a letter out saying that you're authorized as the owner to do what you want with the helmet so you can take the label out. It's up on the Bolt of California site where it says if you get a ticket, you can take this to court for that. And at that point, I didn't know that was there. Otherwise, I would have took it with me, and it might have been a different outcome. But bottom line is I won my appeal. I got to see the chief. And,
the chief of Oceanside?
No, I went down and had lunch with Red Baron, and he introduced me to the chief of assistant chief of traffic for San Diego.
Okay.
And once we got to talking and he found out that this guy was one of his cadets at the academy, he said, let me give him a call. So he did. And the next thing we found out was that he called me and he said, yeah, come on down. So when I went down, I had a stack of papers, and like Bill said, he didn't want to hear nothing. He, you know, we're right, you're wrong, and take it up with the state legislator and the DMV. So that really frosted me even more. So as the days went on, I went down to see the chief of police, who happens to ride a fat boy with shotgun pipes, and he wears a beanie helmet. So when we went to get this meeting, that was on a Friday at 10 in the morning. On Monday at 10, the sergeant from the internal affairs, it goes as high as the sergeant there. There's nobody above him, so he's in charge.
The big cheese, buddy.
He's the big guy in internal affairs. So I talked to him, and it's just before Christmas, and then he set up a date with us on the 7th of January. So Bill and I went down there. But at 10 o'clock in the morning, he called and said they had a meeting they had to attend. Can we do it at 3:30? So, yeah, we went down there. We got there and everything, and we got there early, and I told Bill, and I put my tape recorder in my inside pocket, and I didn't take my jacket off. So we're in there about 20 minutes. Bill taps me on the knee and says, are you hot? No, I'm not hot, Bill. But he already knew I had the tape recorder in my pocket going. So we look across the table, and the traffic from the
sergeant of traffic, yeah.
Sergeant of traffic was sitting there with a winter coat on, with sweat. Now, you guys got to picture this. We're in an interrogation room, no ventilation. No windows. And the door closed. So every time this guy opened his mouth, he only had three pieces of paper from the highway patrol that he agreed that, yeah, they're not going to ticket anybody because the Highway Patrol told them that, one, unless the guy's wearing a football helmet or a baseball cap, a helmet is a helmet. Doesn't matter. So we got that out of the way. Then we start talking about the discriminatory stops, the bullshit exhaust tickets, all that stuff. So when the guy said, well, what kind of, he asked me what if I knew what kind of bike the chief rode, and I told him, yeah, he rides a fat boy with shotgun pipes and he wears a beanie helmet. At that point, he was startled because I knew exactly what I was talking about. I had 3 inches of papers, a set for me and a set for both of those two guys. So every time this guy brought something up, I threw it in front of him. When he brought out the Highway Patrol memo, I threw that in front of him too, only with the corrections, the mandatory corrections on what the helmet has to have to be legal. At that point, the helmet that I brought in earlier was sitting right to my left. He picked it up and said, is this the helmet you brought that my guys told you wasn't legal? I said, yes. The guy on the internal affairs sergeant said, what paper is that? So I handed it to him. So they looked at each other. Okay, we'll give you that one. We're not going to do anything about the helmets no more. We're not going to do anything about the exhaust. And I said, yeah, because right now, Abate 6 out of San Diego has the machine, and they're doing testing on the pipes. Oh, are they giving you a certificate? Yes. You might want to carry that with you. Absolutely. And then from there, I'll let Bill talk, because that's when they started to try and needle me and get me pissed off.
I want to say, first of all, that in respect to the internal affairs guy, he kept it extremely professionalism because he didn't know what we're talking about. He didn't know about the laws. He really just keep his mouth shut and let the sergeants of the traffic speak. But he just spoke in generalities. He didn't know anything specific about any of these cases at all. So every time he brought a crazy point up, Phil would say, let me explain that to you what that means. Now, also, I want to tell people that one of my pet peeves or one of my ways to aggravate me is to speak down at me. Nothing irritates me more. Speak to me. I never try to impress people. I try to speak to every single person. I look in their eyes. Do not speak down at me. It just puts me right up the wall. We had a problem with the sergeant in front of the traffic. 3 times he tried to instigate a adversarial conversation between him and Philip to push Philip off his game. Every single time he did that, Philip came down with facts, statistics, he came down with the laws. Philip knew what to say. The cop kept pushing and pushing and pushing. And if you don't know Philip, you know, he's got a little temper, but you know what? They couldn't break us.
Actually, just like Bill when he said, yeah, we have the CHP memo here, and I said, oh, okay, so you're bringing out the Allied Agency memo? Yes. Oh, that's the Allied Agency memo. Okay, fine. Here, who signed this one? 2 pages in, Oceanside is highlighted. I handed a copy of both of them to him, and I asked him, okay, since you guys are going to go with the Allied Agency memo, who signed off on it? What do you mean? Read the papers. I gave them to him. They couldn't tell us who signed it. Nobody knew who signed what. So that's
again, they're speaking generalities, and you're
right.
Giving the facts and figures right there, and they didn't know what to say. Also, flipping the script a little bit, I said, now, I'm a businessman in the city of Oceanside. People come to visit me, or people come cruising through Oceanside. They stop at restaurants, they stop at gas stations, 7-Eleven, they come down to my shop and do business. You people are making people not want to come to Oceanside. Let's talk about this here. I'm a merchant. Because of your actions, people don't want to come to Oceanside. Does Philip look like a criminal? Has Philip done anything wrong? Is this the type of a person that we want to make uncomfortable riding a motorcycle? Again, a veteran, a businessman, a family man, does hard work and all that. Is that the people we want to keep away from? And the cops had to say, well, you know, you've got a point there. And I said, no, this all goes on a selective enforcement. Let's not kid ourselves. How many times have you seen those people on 10-speed bicycles come to a stop sign and go right on through the crosswalks, right on through the red lights? And I asked the officer, have you ever given any of those people a ticket? He said, well, no. Officer, I tell you, that's selective enforcement. You are choosing to make this helmet thing an issue when in reality all you're doing is you're keeping business away from Oceanside. So we talked about it, and it was actually the internal affairs guy that kind of put the pressure on the sergeant, and he said, you know...
Who had no answers for anything that we were talking about. All he brought was the three papers from the highway patrol, and he couldn't answer any questions.
I was always told earlier that a little knowledge is dangerous, and that's all this police officer had, a little bit of knowledge, and what's happening was he was just, you know, out there. However, talked about it, we went back and forth, and now Phil and I had no real objective. We wanted to present our case. We wanted to just show what's happening in town. And this, I got to let Phil tell you this part, because this is so much part of his life here. How did this thing end up, Phil? What did they say to us?
They end up telling us that we'd appreciate if you put the word out that we're done. We're not going to cause any more discriminatory stops. We're not going to pull over for exhaust tickets. We're not going to pull over for helmets anymore. We're not going to do anything unless the guy does something wrong. And then at that point, if we pull him over and we get an attitude, and Bill and I said, as his favorite words are, Bill.
I said, just shut up.
Just shut up.
They gave us an extra, if you want, a little cherry on the ice cream top and all that. They said about the outlaw clubs coming in.
Right.
Remember that?
Right.
Tell us what they said there.
Well, they also said since they're coming through town, they're not going to bother them. They're not going to bother them, you know, as long as they're just going straight to town, which is what we
saw. Stop for a cup of coffee, beer,
coffee,
let them get out of town.
Let them get out of town. Gas, food, whatever. They're not going to bother those guys anymore.
This is something we had not on our agenda, but again, you're traveling through town, you got your colors on, you haven't done anything wrong, you're an American citizen. And the cops realize, again, they're not moving into Oceanside, there's not 500 moving into Oceanside. They're traveling through, they're stopping for gas, maybe something to eat and all that. We would like them to be treated like citizens. And boom, they said, you have a very good point there. So we were totally taken out. I think the IA actually was very pleased. First of all, he was pleased it was ended.
Right.
He wanted to bring it to an end.
Right. But at that point, I asked them if they received any grants. Sergeant from Track says, yes, we did. Sergeant from Internal Affairs says, what are they about? I don't know what we got the money for. Here we go again. Here you go, guys. This is everything you need to know. You guys are going to do 9. Escondido is going to do 9. It's at your discretion when you do them. This is what you're going to happen about. So let me ask you this. Okay, now we just decided here you're not going to do any of this during the checkpoints, because it says right in there and it's highlighted, motorcycle safety checkpoints. The traffic sergeant says, well, you know, we're number one. In California for the motorcycle accidents.
Fatalities.
And Bill and I touched on that also, because we said it's coming from the young Marines coming back, not getting the proper training.
We're right next to a Camp Pendleton. It's a log military base. So
right.
The young guys riding the bikes.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a mile and a half out my front door. So Bill and I were talking to this guy about that, and then they said the same thing, that the guys are doing wheelies or whatever bullshit stuff or doing their switching lanes without turn signals, anything. It's on them. So Bill and I said, okay, if we're gonna agree to this and it's no more discriminatory stops and screwing with the guys, we're fine with that. Okay, can you guys do us a favor and put the word out? Absolutely, we will. So Bill and I we're getting ready to leave, and they talked to us again, and we all agreed again before we shook hands and walked out the door, and we said our goodbyes, and Bill and I get out. We get out to our bikes, and Bill mentions...
Oh, wait, before we get that far, don't forget inside. I offered to invite my friend Philip to come in every single week.
That's right.
And give them an upgrade on how to do this. I said, every single week he'll be here. And they went, oh, okay, well, we don't think that's necessary.
That's exactly right, because Bill said, you know, I told you this. As I was dealing with these two guys, let me back up a minute, but as I was dealing with these two guys, I was right on point with everything. When I gave them the codes, the CVC codes, the penal codes, everything possible. They couldn't believe it. So that's when Bill told them, hey, I told you this guy was on point, and if you'd like, I'd have him come back once a week to give you updates. No, we think that's okay. So it's like, at that moment, it was like a Kodak moment, huh, Bill? I wish I had a camera. I could have took a picture of their faces when they said that.
Phil's stacking paper. They're going like, does this come to an end? No, it doesn't.
It doesn't. The more you guys are putting pressure on me, the more I'm going to throw this shit at you. And it's not that it's BS. Everything that I'm handing you guys is legit. It's legit paperwork. It's legit paperwork that's signed by judges, by the 6th District Court. Somebody just typed in that if we would please repeat the agreement you have with OPD if you can. Sure. What happened was we told them what was going on. They told us they're not going to do any more discriminatory stops, no more exhaust tickets, no more helmet tickets, no more telling a guy on the side of the road, you have to take off your helmet, I want to see it. Now, you don't have to do nothing. Like Bill said, shut up and just make it as pleasant as possible so you can go on your way. There's two ways to approach this. One way I approach it, the other way Bill approaches it. So you'll find your niche like I did. The other thing that we touched on was going through the motorcycle checkpoints. All they're going to check for is make sure you have a current driver's license, your registration is up to date, which they'll know you have insurance when they run your registration and whether it's up to date anyway. So basically what it boiled down to when we shook hands with those guys was to make sure that everybody riding in this town has a valid driver's license. Period.
You get your ducks lined up in a row. And we point them out again that, in this case, I'm a businessman, but the people that ride the motorcycles, they're family people, they work for jobs, they work for companies, they own their own companies. It doesn't matter. Why should we be stopped? This is America. Why should we be afraid of the police officers? I've told everybody over and over and over, the first 30 to 45 seconds of the police stop is critical. You control it, or they're going to control it. If you back down from them, they're going to start thinking they're in charge, they're in control. You need to let them know your rights. Now, when I have one of my baggers out and they say, we'd like to see in your saddlebags, I have said over and over, I do not give you permission to look in my saddlebags. Then I get the next thing. Oh, you got something to hide. That has nothing to do with anything. I do not give you permission to look in my saddlebags. If you give them permission, then why are you complaining because they're in your saddlebags? Second thing I want to talk about, rolling your sleeves up. We right. have a bikers patrol, bikers task force out here. They want to take current pictures of our tattoos. Just say no. They will ask you to go in your saddlebags. They will ask you to roll your sleeve up, take your jacket off. Why do we do it? They ask us, we do it. Just say no. I don't say yes, sir, or no, sir, to anybody in my life. It's never going to happen. I'm not disrespectful, but I will demand respect when I am pulled over. I'll keep the situation. I don't want to care about the guy's dog. I don't want him to know about what I'm doing, where I'm going. None of this is important. Let's make this to a minimum. I'm on my way, and it's over. I am in charge. Everybody listen to me. We are in charge. Why should we fear a police officer, a dog catcher? They all work for us. We're the citizens. Why do these people get this power? We gave it up. We have to take it back. We need to know our rights. You shouldn't be upset at all. If you're drinking, blah, 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 you're loaded, da, da, da. Okay, you just robbed a 7-Eleven. You get lit up, maybe you got a problem. The average one of us going down the road, they pull us over, don't even look guilty. Turn around and look at them. Say to yourself, I am in charge. I got my pink slip, or my registration, excuse me. I got my insurance. I got my driver's license. I am waiting for it right here.
Well, just to touch on that, Bill. So when you're getting pulled over, the object of the whole thing is, like I did, I took all my information and I put a little wallet inside my breast pocket. When I get on the bike, I even put my driver's license in there because I carry a knife in my back pocket. I've also been told, why do you carry a hammer? Because I was told 15 years ago when I got stopped by the California Highway Patrol, as long as I put a zip tie on it and it looks secure, I can carry the hammer. When I got stopped in Oceanside, the man told me, why don't you put it in the bag? I looked him dead in the eye and I said, because if I open that bag and you see that hammer, you're going to tell me it's a concealed weapon and I'm on my way to wherever you want to take me.
Well, you can't take this off, and what you can't do, you have to break two zip ties. Therefore, it is not a concealed weapon. It is a tool.
Right.
And in your case, what do you do for a living?
I'm an iron worker. I'm a general foreman iron worker. And what I do is I have
submarines or ships?
No, everything. Submarines, ships, whatever it is we're working on. It happens to be working on at the yard. And a lot of times I'll use the hammer to get the attention of the guys because there's a blower going. You got five or six guys in a room grinding, welding. It's a lot of noise. So when you want to get attention, that's what you do.
And also, if you're going to weld something, you don't want the guy behind the wall to know what you're doing. Is that
right.
what it's for?
Yeah, you create,
yeah.
When you see the hot spot, that means, you know, when you tap on the wall, he looks for the hot spot. That's where he knows to look.
I don't know what the hot spot means. What does that mean?
Well, when you start welding, you get a cherry red on the wall.
Okay, that we know. All right, then, yeah. All right, so there you are. You're going down the road. I'm going down the road. We don't need to put up with this action here. Everybody listening to us here, again, this is your town. This is your street. We pay the taxes. If you got potholes into it, you go down to City Hall, you talk to them. Find out if you have an officer that you think is rude to you. Do not waste your time talking to this officer. Go to his supervisor.
That's true.
Over and over and over I say this.
Just like some of the guys, Bill, you know, I started carrying a tape recorder and I hooked my son up. I told him the same thing. And some people went as far as to get the video camera glasses. They're like $60 online, and I understand they're pretty good. There's another one that came out where you can clip it on your lapel. Somebody was talking about it last night where it's a video camera. It records, it's a mini video camera camcorder. It records the audio and video, and it has a microphone. It has the lens for, well, it's got a clip on it. You can clip it right on your jacket, or you can hold it in your hand. But to me, if I was going to carry it, I'd clip it to my jacket.
Well, let me ask you a question about that, because a lot of people are confused. Can you videotape
yes.
with your cell phone or video camera? I mean, can the officer see these being videotaped? This
yes.
is a little confusing, so
no,
people
it's
don't
not,
see.
It's not a little confusing, because we had an incident happen up in Folsom, California, and it concerned Mark Temple. And yes, he was told to turn it off, so he turned it off before he got tasered. And when he got done talking to the guy, that was the end of it. He filed a complaint. He filed an internal affairs complaint. He sent a public service records request asking for what their procedure or policy was. They sent him back after the individual in charge talked to the district attorney of that town and found out that unless the guy is undercover, it is not against the law in the state of California or anywhere in the United States. From the John Del Santo got involved in this and did some research with the Department of Justice, who also told him it's not against the law to record or videotape your traffic stop unless the guy is undercover.
And if he's pulling you over and he's got a patrol car, you're undercover, obviously, with them. You know, a while back, I was riding downtown in Oceanside, and it's a little rough area. Cop lit me up. I pulled over, shut the vehicle off, slid my feet around so that I got both sides facing on the street. And the officer walked up and he said, good afternoon. I said, good afternoon. He said, do you know how fast you were going? And I said, no, I don't. You were doing three miles an hour over the speed limit. And I have to tell you, I just stood there and paused. I'm thinking, am I going to get an attaboy? Am I going to get me a here's a donut? I don't know. I cannot believe this conversation is happening. So I took my helmet off so my long gray hair can go out, which I kind of like to push that gray hair stuff. And the cop said, well, I'm not going to check your driver's license or your registration or anything. I just want you to know you need to be more careful for you to drive in this area. 3 miles an hour, I get pulled over.
Well, Bill, you know, it's like, you know, in Arizona when they had that protest, about the bars with the no colors.
Kingman was it?
Yeah,
Kingman,
Arizona. And Sonny went down with the boys, and he was out in front of the pack, and they got him for going 4 miles an hour over the limit, pulled him over, helicopters, squad cars, everything. So I don't know who was watching the robbers rob the bank or the local donut shop. But what happened was he got off his bike, and they didn't tell him he could get off his bike. He told them, I'm 70 years old. I have to stand up. Sometimes I have to stand up. So at that point, they charged him with obstructing the justice and locked him up.
Failure to follow an officer's orders, something
absolutely.
Like that, crap like that, yeah.
Absolutely.
If they ask you something, you don't have to do it. If they tell you it's a police officer, you have to do that statement. You know, we're getting a few guys typing in. I should point out that Phil and I are talking about California rules and laws and regulations. This is how we're dealing. What works for us doesn't necessarily work in your state, so that's why we want to know, how's it going in your state? How are you fighting this here? But anything Phil and I are saying we're doing, remember, please check with your own state.
That's true.
It's all a little bit different, you know.
But what I meant was when someone that we know, John in San Diego, did all the research, he made all the phone calls. He was told by the Department of Justice. He even went as far, Bill, as to call the Secret Service and ask them what was going on. And they all told him it wasn't against the law to videotape or record the conversation unless the guy is undercover. Period. And they told him, he checked with Homeland Security, everybody. They all told him the same thing. I have a copy of the paper. Once I dig it out, I'll CC a copy. Whoever wants it, just type in the chat and I'll send you one.
You know, part of our problem is, and I just want to kind of highlight what we're doing here. Philip and I have a loud exhaust. When we get downtown, it reverberates from the buildings. The exhaust sounds louder than it is. It's the way it is. I'm not a criminal. I just choose that loud exhaust. The cops see it, they pull us over, and it's been a pain. Now, you recently found a way to kind of combat that not loud exhaust, excuse me, but the exhaust system you have in your bike. And,
absolutely.
You and John did something about that, didn't you?
Absolutely. John and his wife went to Texas, got certified on the machine. They have their ABATE meeting. I think it's the first Saturday of every month. And if they get a heads up, if anybody emails me, I'll send you the directions on how to get there. You just send me an email, and I'll let John know, and they'll bring the machine because it takes a little bit of time out of their day, usually an hour or two after the meeting. They'll hang around and do the test for you.
So, Phil, let me get, now you got your driver's license, you got your registration of your insurance, and now you got your copy of this a decibel reading. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So, bam, what can they possibly say wrong?
Yeah.
Does this have to be upgraded every year, or does there any?
We don't know about that yet, Bill,
okay.
Because of that the Bill 435. It's up in Transportation Committee right now, but they changed the wording on it January 11th, so it got stuck in Transportation Committee. So once they review it there, they might go on to a couple other things. But
well, I'm sure John will keep us up on that. You know, we have got Phil and I like to ride hard. I don't think that we're dangerous riders. I think we're very confident riders. But no matter how I'm riding, I am still a United States citizen. I am a veteran, and I keep pounding on this and pounding on this here. Everybody listen to me. That is, listen to me. If you're in America, we do not need to fear the police. We need to control the situations. You get pulled over, just say no. I'm never going to give up my rights. If they ask you and you give up your rights, why are you complaining? Oh, they made me open my saddlebags. They didn't make you do squat. They asked you, you opened it up. Again, I'm talking about California rules only, please, folks. All of my friends that have problems like that, the police ask them, and the police use a stupid statement. Well, you got something to hide. I told you I do not give you my permission. That's all. I don't ever raise my tone. I don't think anybody's ever going to hear me on this station, ever, ever, ever listen to me. I do not raise my voice. You stay positive, stay consistent, and you say, I am in charge. If people will say that, I guarantee you, it'll be a big difference.
You know, it's just like the next day, which was a Friday, Bill, after the Thursday, we talked to these two guys in the room. I got a call in the morning from the sergeant from Turtle Affairs who told me that he's been a policeman for 26 years, and he had never in all his career as a policeman been more embarrassed than he was in that room with us that day, because he thought he was bringing the guy to be informative, and the fucking prick didn't have a clue.
I want to point out to you that Philip did not use one F word once in the whole meeting, which I thought was really amazing. I keep telling people over and over and over, do not fall back on bad words. It makes you look bad. However, it's a habit. I understand that. I'm not belittling you, Brother Philip. We go into meetings like that. You've done an absolutely amazing job to refrain from using that word. God knows you use it all day long with me, but that's another story there. I'm going to go up to the downtown City Hall because they've got that thing coming up for the Veterans Program, and I'm going to meet with the mayor. Do you want to come up with me a couple of weeks?
Yeah.
He's over in India right now. He spoke to a secretary, and they said very nice, very polite to me. He'd like to give us some time. I want to talk about having him as one of the guest speakers at the Vietnam Moving Wall coming in.
That's correct.
And I understand that briefly, and I want to give kudos to this gentleman right here. You talked to a gentleman in, is it East Coast, that his son passed away?
That's true.
Do you mind? I'm going to jump subjects out of this.
That's true.
You know, I don't want to beat up the subject about us, the police station. It's an ongoing battle. It's an ongoing for everybody, but it's our rights. But please tell me about this guy you found about. I thought this was quite exciting.
Actually, Bill, I was on the biker lowdown last night in
Is that a good program?
That's a very it's a very good program, Bill. And what happened was they had brought on a gentleman whose son was killed in Iraq in April of 2005. He was at home, and you know, two Marines came to the home, came to his house, knocked on the door, and they informed him of what happened to his son. And by the way, his son's name was Joey. During the 2 or 3 months that followed Joey's death, an idea formed in my mind to build a tribute to Joey that would make him proud, and that everyone who saw it would always remember Joey and all the other young men and women who gave their ultimate sacrifice for the country. You know, and Bill, what this guy did, it was phenomenal. I showed you the picture earlier, and I was at a loss for words because it hit home to me. I was in a similar situation.
Phil and I are suckers for any veteran tribute at all. We're suckers for that every
absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely. And what happened was I got to come home, and 274 of my friends didn't. So he got an idea to build he wanted to build a tribute to his son. So what he did was, he got with a few people around New York, and he built a Marine memorial tribute bike.
Motorcycle? Harley Davidson type?
Chopper type.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like a bar hopper built.
Yeah, okay.
And it's phenomenal. Once I get a chance, I'll type in the website for you guys to go look. But what happened was, you know, he started out the Marine bike. It was built for one, dedicated to a few, and in honor of those who have fallen defending our great nation. Which when I heard those words, Bill, it's just like I had to wait before I called in. I had to get my composure, you know, because this guy tells the story of how he would sit with his son and they'd watch Jesse James doing his thing on the Discovery Channel or the Biker Build-Offs, you know, and his son was really into this with him, and I guess from what I understand, he had some kind of a motorcycle shop. And he, like everybody else in the nation, he's fallen on hard times. And I don't mean to put his business out there, but I talked to him today, and he said he had permission to talk.
There's people across this country losing their houses, people losing their businesses. Folks, we haven't done anything wrong. We don't have drug problems. We don't have alcohol problems. We don't have gambling problems. The fact is our economy is breaking us. You have to try to survive in here. But all my friends have lost their businesses. Just for Christmas, I think I mentioned to you, one of my friends committed suicide. Between Christmas and New Year's, two of my friends sat down with a loaded gun in their lap, and they stared at it. One said half hour, one 45 minutes. They stared at the gun and put the gun away. They are just pushed to the edge. Now, I don't know if we're going to become stronger for this, but I tell everybody out there, you haven't done anything wrong. Hang in the best you can. I'm sorry for deviating on that, but let me go back to the motorcycle, please.
Yes. So what happened was, you know, because they'd sit and watch these shows, they both, you know, they really enjoyed it and they admired the skill and the talent it took to build any kind of a motorcycle. So what he did was he thought it would be a great monument to his son that he loved and missed. So he decided to build this bike. And what happened was, you know, he had a bunch of people just jump behind him, and they helped his idea come to life. And you know, the bike couldn't have been built without Bill. I got the list of people here. It's just,
you know, that goes on. But do me a favor, would you jump a little bit? Tell me about the events where this bike was seen on the East Coast, because some of the East Coast people may have been there to see that.
It started out, and he's been doing it since April of 2006, I understand, Bill. That's how long it took him to build the bike.
Mm-hmm.
But they started, like, I have 2009 events. They started in June at they had a Pony Express poker run for the junior.
The JDRF.
JDRF.
Yeah,
okay.
We don't know that.
Right.
Then what happened?
And
where did they go?
They on July 4th. They went to the Southport 4th of July fireworks and the car show. And basically, he takes this bike out for benefits. He doesn't take it out just to take it out. He takes it out for special occasions.
Tell me some of the states you've been to on here.
You know, Connecticut, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, New York.
What do you do in New York?
New York, he went to, they had the Orchard Beach car show in the Bronx, and then he took it up to the Classics Under the Gunks in Gardner, New York, and then just this October, Bill, that was on October 22nd through the 25th, he was at the Marine Corps Marathon in Washington, D.C.
Displaying the motorcycle,
displaying the motorcycle
to his son.
Right.
Well, that's pretty classic.
And he also told me a story about where, I forget which one of these he was at, but a guy walked up to him and handed him some beads, red and black beads, and I think one of them was he had a dog tag with it, but it was one of his The guy had lost one of his friends in Beirut and thought that because this bike was so special, that needed to be on that bike, so they put it on the bike. And then he told me another story about another guy. They were at the Marine Corps Marathon, and it was a young Marine missing his leg from below the knee on his one leg. And actually it was the clutch side, though, his left leg. So what happened was the kid looked at him and said, "Boy, I wish I could ride that." And Larry responded that, "You can. That's why there's a sword for the shifter."
The Marine Corps official sword thing? Ceremony sword, right?
Yeah. Ceremony sword.
Okay, yeah.
So when I get a chance, guys, I'll type in the website for you guys to go look at this. So what I want to do is I'm gonna open the call right now. And
before
we
jump off that, I would say, you know, here's a father who built something for his son. Again, this is another person, another state, showing us, all of us, look around. What can we do? We will make a difference. Sitting around the bar drinking, complaining does nothing. Sitting around the bar drinking maybe help, but to sit around the bar complaining doesn't do anything at all. Find out what we can do. This is an amazing story about a father doing something for a son. Phil and I, two schmucks riding motorcycles, we're out here trying to say, look, this has got to stop. We need to talk to other people in other states. We need to say, look, this is what we're doing. We can expand it if we just take it one step at a time. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. And enough of that zen. Phil, we got some call you want to bring in there?
Yeah, I'm going to do that right
now,
Bill.
Okay, then.
Let me do that. And then what I'm going to do is, while you're talking to her, I'm going to unmute her right now. Hello, Karen. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Hey, we're doing fine.
We're doing fine. I'm kind of limited. I'm a chicken pecker, and I'm going to put this website in the chat room. So Bill, talk to Bill for a minute, will you please?
I want everybody to take a look at this too when he brings it in. This is quite embarrassing. We've got the American flag on one side, we've got the Marine Corps flag, we got four proud Marines standing over this motorcycle. The bottom logo reads Semper Fi. You know, as veterans, that means an awful lot to us. But Karen, enough of that. Tell me, what's going on out there today?
What's going on in New York?
What's going on in New York?
Well, New York's kind of busy
shorts
this week.
And all that today?
Oh, no, not today. No,
no,
not today.
Oh, we're sorry.
I have a
light sweatshirt on.
Chilly. I don't want to hear it. I really don't want to hear it. We've been very cold today.
Oh.
Well, I'm not sure if you heard, but New York State has put out their 2009 Highway Safety Annual Report, which lists all their highway programs, and one of the programs is the motorcycle-only checkpoints. They had 33 checkpoints last year. Their first priority for the checkpoints was to look for DOT compliant helmets, registration, and insurance. And if they had time, their second priorities would be pipes, tires, and other traffic violations. They have a long list that you go through. Now, the total number of motorcycles that passed through the checkpoints last year was 24,030 motorcycles. On the helmet tickets, they got 840. And for illegal exhaust, they only had 198.
Yeah, but who determines it's illegal exhaust? Do they have a machine on the side of the road that's doing that? Or do they
do
what they did to us? They just tell you on the side of the road, that's not
they
a
just, that, yeah, they just said that's loud.
We're
what
using
they do is they have like a gauntlet. They have like a gauntlet. They have troopers in the front. They bring everybody in. They have the troopers up there. They have like a little cheat sheet. They go through and kind of walk around and then send you to the DMV guy. He doesn't like
can
the
I
inspection.
Can I ask you a question? Who's watching all the criminals?
I don't know. I didn't look into the crime rate while these guys were busy doing this. All these 33 checkpoints. I don't know.
Somebody ought to bring that up, huh?
Well, Weezy had mentioned on Tuesday to look into the seat belts, because this is, well, obviously the helmets is very low. They only mentioned how many motorcycles went through, not how many motorcyclist helmets they looked at. And they only do these checkpoints during very large events. So a lot of people, there's a lot of couples that go to these, so, you know, double it. So I went back into the report yesterday, and where is it? They did not have exact numbers for the seatbelts. All they said was, surveys show that police checkpoints are extremely effective raising awareness of the motoring public for seatbelts. They wouldn't put an actual number like they did the checkpoints for the motorcycles.
Well,
for the DWIs, this was interesting. They had 195 fixed sobriety checkpoints, and that resulted in 475 DWI arrests. That's high. But I don't know what part of the state they did these in. The seatbelts, no numbers. Motorcycles, they did for helmets.
Karen, do you feel that you talk to enough people that even care about what you just told me in New York? Your neighbors?
Actually, a lot of people are getting very, well, the event promoters. They're actually just going over after the clubs. They don't care. They just want to get their names. They want to get their plates. They want to, harassment. They say it's for safety, reason why they're doing these checkpoints. But from 2007, we had 171 fatalities. 2008, we had 182. So the checkpoints aren't working. Yet the death rate's still going up.
Right. That's basically what Bill and I talked to him about, too, when they brought that up. Well, we're number one in California for,
our state, right here, our city's number one. Go ahead, Phil, sorry.
Yeah, and we told them we'd get the word out, and I went and I talked to some people that do those courses on the basis, and basically they're going to make it harder for them to do that. And if they do not get permission or do not get a license, they're disobeying a lawful order.
And their concept about the fact that we have the number one rate of all deaths here in Southern California. I said, wait a minute. These are people that are wearing what? Full DOT helmets. These are wearing full leathers. These are young Marines. How can you compare full DOT helmets and tell me it's dangerous, and yet we're talking about non-DOTs, and they have so much less deaths? Problem has to be with education. Education. I don't like mandatory education, but don't try to pull out to me, you have to wear a helmet because it's dangerous, and you're showing to me, we're showing to you, rather, these are people wearing the DOT helmets. It's apples and oranges, and that's another one of their programs or points which held no credit at all, and we beat that all up. And
wasn't there a department in California that said that MC deaths went down? It came out for like 2 weeks, and it was all over the papers. What department?
It disappeared. I don't remember what it was.
Yeah, it disappeared right before your grants came out.
Absolutely.
once the grants came out, then they said, they changed the years and said, no, we have a rise. But I can't remember what the department in California actually put out and said, our deaths were lowered.
Well, that was the Department of Transportation. It was California Highway Traffic. It was the State Traffic Safety Administration. When I went in to try and find that, like you said, I got the grant papers and I was involved reading those. A couple days went by. When I went back to get that paper, everything disappeared. The PDF file and everything was gone.
Oh, really?
We're talking about an Oceanside here that we're going to get so much more money for more stops. And what Philip and I are concerned about, Oceanside and Escondido, right, Phil?
Oceanside and Escondido.
We don't want these stops to be beating us up with stupid things about helmet law, blah, 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 blah. If you want to test us because the headlights don't work, write that up. We don't want this to be an excuse now to start jacking up this. We explain to them this is what we'll be looking for when you start doing these checkpoints, these stops. This is us going down telling the police, telling our community, our city council, what we expect, what we want, how we want to grow. I don't want to sit by on the wayside and just have this thrown upon me. This is what we're going to do. We're going to stop you and all that. We need to control our neighborhoods again. I know I sound like a tired old goat, but that's how I feel about this, guys.
Well, it's coming. They want it in every state. They want it like the sobriety checkpoints. They want these MC checkpoints the same way. In every state, around every motorcycle event. I mean, they're working on the guidebook now. They're perfecting it. So it can be in every single state.
Right. It's like if you go on the blog, There's an I just put an article up there this morning. It's the 2010 Roadmap to State Highway Safety Laws. It's a PDF file that's 58 pages. But what I did was I highlighted page 13, and it's all, it says, this is what it says. All rider motorcycle helmet laws. In 2008, 5,290 motorcycle riders were killed, an increase for the 11th year in a row, and 96,000 were injured. Studies from NOTC show that the fatality rates are exceeding increases in vehicle miles traveled and motorcycle registrations. Motorcycles are hardly overrepresented in traffic fatalities. In 2008, they represented 14% of the total traffic fatalities, yet motorcycles comprised only 3%. So basically what they're doing is they're mixing the apples and oranges to make it sound good or bad when they need to. And it goes on to say, all the registered vehicles accounted for 0.4% of all vehicle miles traveled in 2007. Motorcyclists are 37% more likely to die in a crash than a passenger vehicle occupant. Now, according to that aerospace guy we've been talking to for the last few days, and he's got a very good point on seatbelts are the actual killer, not the accident. I don't know if you guys got a chance to go on his site and read it. I can't get to it right now, but I'll put it up on the blog. But it's also, you know, the 2004 Lou Harris poll showed that 8 out of 10 people believe their state should have an all-rider helmet law. NOTC estimates that the helmet saved the lives of 1,829 motorcyclists in 2008, and 823 more could have been saved if all motorcyclists had worn helmets. Despite these facts, in 2009, 19 states attempted to repeal their all-rider helmet law, while virtually no state has been successful in adopting a new one. What does that tell you?
Yeah. Well, we know the vehicle miles of travel is false. It was never required of the states to do that. They're still using the numbers, but they shouldn't be.
The riders
saved by a helmet. How they figure that? Well, first they figured that it's 37% effective.
I got news for you. I went down at 55 miles an hour riding my bike like a jet ski till I had the bot top and flipped 30 feet in the air, landed on my head, put my head perpendicular to my left shoulder, broke my right shoulder. When I came to, I had a BMW parked 18 inches from my head. The accident didn't kill me, but if that guy ran me over, I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you right now.
Right. Well, they don't actually go to the hospitals and find out if the helmet saved the person or not. That's not how they figure it out. Say you had 50 deaths this year. What they do is multiply that by 37%, and that's how they come up with the number of how many motorcyclists were saved by helmet. They don't actually ask the hospitals or look through reports. They don't talk to anybody. They just multiply it, and that's got to be the number that was saved.
Right.
Well, those
and
are
what
false.
I'd like to do is, if I could get a helmet ticket, I'm going to try. I'd like to get a hold of that guy, and I'll fly him down here and take him to court with me and let's see what happens when he starts talking.
You know, Phil, I found a painter that told me he paints police helmets. So I asked him, when one comes in, would you mind if I came in so you could show me what he does? He paints over the DOT. He paints over everything, and he drills holes for their speaker. Here he's modifying a helmet.
That's right.
Painting over everything, and it is absolutely acceptable. If we do anything in all this thing, we're bad people.
That's right.
How about this crazy stuff?
That's right. And basically under the California Vehicle Code, I think it's 30.122.3 where they can't modify it. It has to be done by the manufacturer. But every one of them, I guess they do it on preference, whatever preference the guy likes to wear. Oh, which, by the way, on my way home today, the officer who decided I needed to wear the helmet that he thought I needed
mm-hmm.
to wear isn't on a motorcycle anymore. They put him in a beat car. They took him off the motorcycle.
Was he going the same direction? Was he at a traffic light?
Going,
or where'd you catch him at?
No, I caught him at a traffic light. He's going the other way.
Now, see, doesn't this make you feel good? Because here we are being protected by the police department. They're following you home. They want to make sure you get home safe. They don't want you to be mugged or anything. This must make you feel good, Phil.
Absolutely, until he looked over and seen it was me.
And then you smile and wave?
I smiled, waved, tooted the horn,
and they
revved it up
right?
a little bit. He ignored me. Turned his head back the other way.
I love that. I smile and wave and beat my horn at more police, and they totally don't want nothing to do with me at all. But rather might be afraid of them. No, acknowledge them, for God's sakes, out there. You don't have to be their buddies, but don't be afraid of the police department, folks.
No. And if you get a chance, wave at them every chance you can. I just basically pissed him off today, and I was glad I did. Because now he's sitting in that hot, he's sitting in that car all day. And this guy isn't no little guy. He's about 6'5", about 300, what, about 300?
Big boy.
About 300 pounds, Bill?
Picture the big cop, the big donuts. You got him right there.
That's it. And he's sitting in that little car. I loved it. I loved it.
You know, a while back, I was downtown Carlsbad. I didn't mention this to you. And down by the ocean. And two cops pulled over four or five teenage kids in a car. One kid took off running. Kid's about 17 or 18. The cop was a good 250, 275, all fat. The teenage kid ran towards my direction with the big, large officer chasing him. And then for whatever reason, the teenage kid cut right in front of me. He crossed me about 10 feet. And the cop came up to me when he finally got there. He says, "I should put you in jail. I should arrest you. You didn't assist me." And I said, "Well, first of all, you didn't ask me. Number two, why couldn't you catch him?" He said, "Well, I did my best." I said, "No, sir, you're out of shape. Do not blame me, and do not threaten me because you couldn't catch the man." The cop turned and went the other way. He couldn't catch this teenage kid, and he was blaming me and threatening me to put me in jail. I wouldn't give him assistance when he never asked for any assistance.
No, he never hollered, "Hey, grab that guy." Nothing.
Not that I would have, but, you know, the point is, you know, blah, blah, blah.
But, There's something I want to ask you about, Karen. Can you enlighten me on that last stand jam for Cobisco?
Oh, yeah. Hold, yep, wait a second. I got it here. Yes. As you heard last night on Biker Lowdown, AM Jam, it's a 3-day biker festival in Cobisco's Fairground, and they have decided to no longer hold it there. They have been having troubles with these roadblocks at the event. You know, what they do, and they did the same thing to Americade. They wait for you to come out. Well, Americade, they wait for them to come out. And everyone's stuck at this event, and once they come out, they make everybody go through the checkpoints. I'm not sure if they did it before or after the AM Jam, but they were definitely had a presence there the whole 3 days. The lady in charge of it tried to get them to back off because a lot of people weren't showing up. Or the people that were showing up were staying in the fairgrounds and not going into the town and spending their money down there. Of course, New York State, they don't care. They're going to continue doing this, and they did. They kept doing this, and she had made a decision to pull it. She had enough. She went to the Chamber of Commerce.
Well, didn't they show up and ask her for $1,100 worth of free tickets?
That's what it was said last night. I don't know. I don't want to repeat that much information because I'm sure she's telling the truth, but you should talk to her on the ins and outs of that. I'm just going by.
Well, I was just asking. I thought I heard that last night. I was just verifying that I heard that.
It was said last night. Which anyone can go to the Biker Lowdown and listen to that interview also.
That's true.
Because it's all recorded. Which would probably be better. I'd rather not repeat those type of details, because I wasn't involved with the organization. I'm just going by the roadblocks were the main cause for this. They've been there for 24 years, and they had enough. And state troopers didn't want to stop, and she's pulling it.
Right. I understand that they just couldn't justify to her what they were doing, so she pulled it.
Yes. Well, yeah, there's no reason for it. Though
the police say that we need to gather information. There's a lot of motorcycles there. We need to gather information. This is what we're going to do. And unless people complain about it, that's what they're going to continue to do. Is that right?
Right. Well, there was a state cop that said that a certain 1% MC Quad was there, and that was the reason why they were there, because they were dangerous, and they actually classify them as a criminal organization, which was, I couldn't believe when I read it. So either you're there for safety to make sure no one's dying out of these events, or you're after this MC to keep an eye on them, make sure there's no problems, which there hasn't been any problems. So,
well,
you know,
I go to bike events, the club parties, the heavy-duty boys, and we get pulled over before we go in or before we go out there. They keep gathering information and saying, we're going to put you down in the book in the Bikers Task Force as an associate member.
Yes.
I said, how can you put me down as an associate member? Do I have anything on my motorcycle? Is there any paraphernalia on me that says anything at all? I am coming to a motorcycle event to acknowledge some old friends of mine in different clubs. And they say, you are now an associate member.
Yes,
wow.
You are now in the gang database.
Nothing
well,
on my bike says anything.
And Bill always laughs because I always tell him, well, didn't you look before you talked to me? I'm already there.
I was afraid one day they're going to look up and say, he's an associate member of too many clubs. I don't know what I'm going to do with this poor boy. Why can't you go around America and just party with some friends? And some of these outlaw clubs, as you say, I've got friends going back 30 years. True, most of them are dead and all that, but I stop by and I visit them for a while and I take off. I want to see some of the old guys. And yet when I go up there, I know I have to go through the gauntlet. I know they're going to ask, why are you going?
Yeah.
I just don't give the information out. But they do
There's
it over
reason,
and
Phil.
Over and over. So I can stay at home and not go, which is what they want, or I'm going to go and deal with it. That's why I'm kind of disappointed the lady didn't go ahead and do the run. You can't just give in. It's a little more difficult, but you got to hang in there, right? In my opinion, anyway.
Right, but she's been doing it for a while, Bill. They've been breaking balls over there for a while, I understand.
Well, so when you say no, when you say too much is enough, why don't you just quit? Why don't you pay the lousy ticket?
Well, that's true. I stood up.
Right,
but what I'm saying is she tried to do that, and they just kept giving her the runaround. You know, this guy had it set in his mind that it's his town, it's his event, and if you don't want to play by his rules, well, you can go somewhere else.
No, I understand that. You and I are just two guys.
Which she is. She's had enough. And, of course, she's dealing with the complaints of the bikers coming in and going, what's up with all the police force?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to help her event. If they keep it, and they're going to keep putting more and more on there. They're giving more money, and they're doing more checkpoints next year. They are bragging about that this is such a huge success.
Yeah, didn't they just appropriate money for all the criminals that are behind the badge to do all this?
Yeah.
Hey, there's one thing you're going to learn about me. I'm not hiding. If they want to come look or talk to me, they already know where I'm at. No problem.
Well, that's fine. I mean, I'm talking about AmJam. This is an event. And
it's a business.
It's a lot of work.
She's trying to make a profession out of that. And these people cutting her down. Here's an American businesswoman, and they're just slamming the door.
She's not. She's. I don't know if she's making money, but she's supporting a town.
Well, yeah, but you also got the vendors, you have the bands. I mean, it's anybody who's done an event knows there's a lot into it, and you got to think about everybody. She's had enough.
Really?
She's tried. She's made complaints. She's got a hold of Mitch Proner, everything. And it's not the town cops. I've heard her say that several times in interviews, and she said it last year. That's not the town cops. It's the state troopers. And they don't want to back off, so she said enough's enough. And she's going to shut down for a year and is looking into Syracuse, but nothing's settled.
Yeah, I heard that also.
Hard. Once you shut down an event for a year, it's very hard. I wish her the best of luck.
Yeah.
What I almost want to say to her, and again, I don't know all the circumstances, but if there's one or two issues with one or two clubs, I would myself sit down with the clubs and say, guys, I'm going to ask you to pass on this event here. We have so many people that want to come, but your president is going to end it. Can I ask you to pass on this and see if they'd go something like that?
No, why should you? Why should she? Any MC club or any biker or anybody, even in a car, is entitled to go to an event. Cops should back off, not the clubs.
Just like Bill, when we had the big cover up with the blankets and the socks and everything for the homeless in December. This is the first year. You see any cops?
No.
You see a helicopter?
Not a helicopter. Not a police officer.
Nothing.
Not a squad car. We had 500-plus people in my front of my building there. Nobody. Because they're realizing, just leave Phil and Bill alone. we're not doing anything wrong. And when the police officer does something wrong, we're going to present that to them. These are mistakes you made. You need to correct it. This is our community. You need to work with us. We're the taxpayers. It took us a while to realize this because we just put up with it.
Right.
But as a kid, I used to get pulled over, and I didn't know any better. I'd take the bogus tickets and all that. And then Phil said, we got to stop, Bill. And I'm realizing now that...
And it took... Yeah. We bounced heads for at least a good 6 weeks.
That guy's wasting his time.
It got to the point where Bill ducked into the back room when he'd see me pull up.
He's got that one-way attitude. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Pay the lousy ticket, man. You know what? Give me a headache. But finally he said to me, Bill, he drew a line in the sand. He said, Bill, We have to stop this. I got to realize, yeah, I'm a businessman. I'm not going to lose anything by this. I'm going to get better by this because I'm going to tell the police, the city council, what we want for our town. Phil and I live in the same town here, Oceanside. We work here. It's our streets, our schools. It should be our voices, not letting other people tell us what to do.
No.
Which is true with any law, not even just MC. People should stand up all the way with everything.
You know, the week before I got this ticket, I went down to the beach, and this is a quick story. But I went down to the beach, and a police car was behind me for a couple of blocks after I got off the freeway, and I made a right turn to go down to the. We have a pier, it goes out about 680 feet, something like that. And at the end is
the beautiful pier. The sun's shining. It's warm water. It's beautiful.
That's okay, Bill. They didn't want to hear that.
No, I don't.
But what happened was I went down and it tees, and I made a left turn. I stopped. I put my feet down. I made a left turn. The guy in front of me sailed right through the stop sign in front of a car going westbound. You think he went after that guy? No, he stayed right on my ass. I get down to where I'm going to go down to the beach, and if you guys have ever seen the movie with Tom Cruise, it's the
Top Gun. Yeah, it was Top Gun.
Top Gun. And if you've seen that where you sat that house and he looks down out at the water, that's the road I was going down to the beach, and you can see the pier and everything in that shot.
The waves softly hitting on the sand, people walking around, beautiful little suntan lotion.
Cool, they're going to kill you. Going to kill you, Bill.
Any worker's going to come find you.
So I stop at the stop sign. I make the right turn, and I'm going down the hill. Well, as I turn the hill, there's a lot of cars that stop because there's like 50,000 people on this beach. So you got baby strollers. You got bicycles. You got people walking dogs, everything. So the cars going down, there's four cars on this little hill. I'm behind the car in front of me, and he stops. And I hit some oil, so my rear end, the back of my bike started to slide one way, and I caught it, and I went the other way, and I let out the clutch, and I went around the cars. I went on the left side. I get down, and I caught 6 inches of the double yellow line, making a left turn. The guy seen me. He said, "I seen you slide and everything, but you know you crossed over that double yellow line." And I had no choice. It was either that or slide underneath that car. So what did you want me to do? At this point, he asked me for all my information. He's standing there with the door open. The next thing I know, here come three. Now, when I turn to go down, it's a one-way going south. Here come three guys on ATVs, two guys on bicycles, seven cars. I've got 20 guys standing down there because I'm wearing a red and white support shirt.
Yep.
They want to see my tattoos. They asked why I'm carrying a hammer. They want to know all this information. And basically I told them, hey, when this started, this is what happened. I didn't do anything wrong. All my information is good. Am I allowed to leave? Well, we're doing some different checks, and we'll let you know in a minute. So I pull out a cigarette. I light a cigarette. The guy says, I didn't tell you could smoke. I didn't ask you. I'm going to smoke anyway.
You people can figure out right away. Phil is a lot better when he rides with me than when he rides by himself. Can you figure this out by now? Two scenarios. And he can go one way or the other.
So to make a long story short, they kept me there for 45 minutes, wouldn't let me get off my bike, made sure I turned it off, I had the key turned off so I couldn't hit the switch and take off and run on them. Now, I'm sitting in 2 inches of sand on the side of the road. How am I going to take off from them? Why can't I smoke a cigarette? I got none of these questions answered.
Because you're a criminal, you could put that cigarette in their face and burn them. That's why.
Actually, I could have done more.
I just put several cigarettes out, burned several.
Don't give them any ideas.
No, but if they were smart and they looked in my bag, they would have found something. Then they would have had fun.
They're not allowed to look in your bag.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But that was a week before I got the ticket. But it's like, it's crazy sometimes with these guys. You know, this guy got out of the car. He had to be 6'3", about 250. I'm 5'10", about 170 pounds, and this guy was worried about me.
Well, they ran your plate. They looked in the little database. Who you hang out with. Well, yeah, what you're doing. And just waited for you to screw up. He would have followed you all day.
Yes, sir.
Isn't that a strange scenario where they already run your plate,
sure.
They already run your motorcycle, they know all about
right,
you.
Right, right.
And what do they say to you? Let me see your driver's
license
and registration. You just ran all that information. I don't understand what a waste of time that is.
Right.
Can you take that information out of your wallet? I say to them, didn't you just run that? Well, yes, we have to look at it again. I'm thinking, well, why'd you run it at all? I can't figure that one at all. That's crazy.
Well, it's just to look in your vehicle, see what's going on. See, you know, I mean, they get away with it. A lot of people allow them to search their saddlebags, take off their helmets. It's luck of the draw. I mean,
yeah, I've already told them I was born at night, but not last night.
Aaron, when they want you to take your jacket off and then they want you to look at all your tattoos up and down your arm, you just say no, okay?
Oh, absolutely. I've been pushing that here in New York for a while. Yeah, they want your tattoos. That's going in the database. They want pictures of your patch with your bike, with the license plate. They don't have the right to do that. If they ask, they don't have the right to do it. Once you say yes, then you're kind of screwed.
I'm still amazed at how six guys going down the road, in this case a club, and the whole club gets pulled over. Six cars going down the road. Well, they pull six cars over. I don't understand how they say, well, we're going to do it, but we're going to check the whole club out. What kind of a country have we, I won't say evolved into, what have we fallen down into, the fact that they can pull everybody over and say you're all guilty, suspected guilty. Whether
yes,
you've done
yes.
nothing is irrelevant. We're pulling.
It happened in New York about 3 years ago. It was a club that came up from PA, and they nailed them. All the whole group just surrounded them and pushed them off. And the whole thing, all of them, helmet tickets.
Well, that's like the last club event we went to. What was it, in August, early September? We went down there in.
Yeah, which way? Give me a hint. I don't know.
San Diego. And they had it. They had them on 8 at all the exits.
Oh, yeah.
They had like 10 cars.
Yeah.
And nailing everybody.
I do get a kick out of it. A while back, we had not the club Phil mentioned, but another motorcycle club went down the California freeways just to make a show. 200 motorcycles went down the road, one club, and they decided there was no reason to stop anywhere. Red lights, stop signs, nothing. And they simply could not stop the 200 motorcycles at all. And I kept thinking, well, you pulled six over. Why don't you pull 200 over? But it was pretty impressive going down the freeway, I got to tell you. You know, last weekend, you and I went down to the MMI. We went down to the. Will you put that off? I'm telling you right now. We went down to the. Karen, can you hear that?
Yeah, what is it?
Can you hear that? I got to apologize for Phil. He's absolutely. His mind's in the gutter. In the presence of a lady, allow me to act like a gentleman, please. Phil and I went down to a mixed martial art program last
Saturday.
Saturday was, yeah. We went down and watched about the cage fighters and all that. Phil's thing will get back in shape. What do you think about that, Karen? You're going to get the gym, start working out. Can you believe that?
But that's our
training with some MMA guys. I'm going to have a lot of fun. Phil says I need some more scars for character.
Ah, there you go.
I'm at the MMA gym, the mixed martial arts, but I assure you what my occupation is a motivator. I'm here to tell you we're going to fight your fight. We're not going to fight his fight. When you're on the ground getting pounded, I have a very deep voice when I want to. I say things like, breathe. Because you're getting your head beat up and somebody's sitting on your chest. I'm watching you. You're not even breathing. So I enjoy working out with the younger guys and all that, but I'm not going in the ring anymore. That's way too beyond me. So we're going to see Phil coming up in the next couple of months and all bruised up and all that. So, well, you guys won't see him, but you'll hear him probably talking funny and all that. What happened to that one guy with his ear almost tore off? That could be you.
Yeah.
Yeah, some guy took a knee to the head. His ear was almost tore off completely. I'm going, oh, yeah, Phil, that's what you want to do. You imagine Phil going down the road with a big Band-Aid, blood coming out of his head, the cop going, oh, yeah, I'm going to pull this boy over right away.
Yeah, they probably will.
Lots of love, Bill. Lots
yeah,
of love.
Well, you know, somebody else talks sense to the guy. He's a bit lunatic. At his age, going to get beat up like that. If you ever get to MMA gyms, they're sparring. They viciously beat each other like that.
Hey, John.
Enough of that.
Hey, Bill. Karen, I'm going to bring somebody in. He just called me, and he'd like to talk.
Okay.
Who's that, brother?
No problem.
Hello, John.
Hey, hello, how are you?
Good, how are you, John?
Hey,
Michael. I just called, but listen, I don't have anything important to say.
We want something to say important to you because a lot of our information that we get comes from this man, John Del Santo. He's constantly giving us information. He's one of those few back there doing all the work and not getting much credit. So, John, on behalf of Phil and I, we say thank you for the work you've done, sir.
Well, you're very welcome.
That's correct. Yeah,
we're all one family.
Hey, I had a question earlier, John.
Yes.
Remember when we talked about filming and videotaping and recording conversations? Can you give us a little input on what you found out, please?
Yeah, I called every source that I could imagine, local police, CHP, you know, the Secret Service Department, the Homeland Security people. You name it, I called them, and there is no law anywhere in this country that keeps you from filming or taping a policeman out in the open. If they're out in the open, they're public property. It's just like being, what do you call those guys that chase the movie stars?
Paparazzi.
Hey, we have the same rights that the paparazzi does. If you take a picture of a cop taking a pee, or going into his own house, that's not good. That's abuse of some law or another law. But as far as a traffic stop or a cop just standing out in the middle of the street, anybody can tape them or record them anywhere, anytime.
John,
so
I have a question. This is Bill. Sometimes these laws affect California only. Did you say this is across the board, all states?
Across the board, all states. In Philadelphia, earlier this year, there was a guy standing in his yard, and there was some kind of a police action going outside. And the guy took a picture of the police action with his cell phone. Cop came into his yard, handcuffed him, took his cell phone, and said, "There's a new law. You can't do that anymore." And took him down to the police headquarters. The American Civil Liberties Union, the ACLU, got into it and defended him and said there is no law nowhere in this country that says that you cannot tape or video somebody who's out there doing their job. You know, you're legal. I keep saying this country because in the United Kingdom there are several laws about taking pictures of cops, but not in this country. There's no law nowhere. And like I say, I checked any place I could possibly think of. You know, vehicle laws and penal laws and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
John?
So, yes.
I'm going to split hairs. I want to make sure I understand that. If the police ask you to put the camera down, a cell phone down, you do not have to. If you get a order, the police, to put it down and you don't, then you've committed a crime. If they ask, I'm trying to find this fine point out to you. If they ask you, you can say, no, I don't have to. But once they tell you, you have to put that down, and you refuse to do it, you'll be handcuffed and taken to jail. Or am I missing? Explain that a little bit more clearly to me. And speak slowly because I went to public school. Okay, brother?
I never heard that, no. I mean, your best source for that would be Mark. Is Mark on today?
No. He started going to school. Well, it's his business, but he started going to school.
Okay. Yeah, I will check with Mark tomorrow, but I didn't hear. Like I said, I talked to, you know, cops and Chips and the Secret Service and you name it, And no, none of them ever.
He checked it out with the Folsom PD, and they talked to their district attorney, I guess, and they told him no, there was no law. The guy was right, and they had to apologize to him.
Right.
If you're standing somewhere and the police say, please step back, and you don't, it's no big deal. If they said, we're giving you a police order, step back, you do not step back, you can be arrested. So if they're telling you, you have to stop filming, that is not a request anymore. That's a police statement, in which case, if you refuse to do it, you can be arrested, taken to court, and then they can say, okay, it was not illegal for you to film, but you refused to obey the police order. You're going to be arrested for that.
I'm not going to make an opinion on that until I talk to somebody, but I will definitely have a yes or no answer for that by next Thursday.
Perfect.
I don't spread rumors without finding a fact behind them. If I say something or print something, I'm pretty damn sure that it's going to be right.
There's a
law that just became effective in California. It's already in most states. Just became effective in California. If I'm driving down the road and there is a police officer, rather emergency vehicle, tow truck, or even a Caltrans truck with their lights flashing, I need to, if it's safe, I need to move one lane away from them. Like if they're on the shoulder, I don't stay in the right lane. If they're on the left shoulder, I don't stay in the left lane. I move one lane away from them. If it's not safe to move, then you drop your speed to a reasonable and prudent speed.
John, Bill Kennedy again. Once again, buddy, I have problems. I can understand very clearly if the police is on the side of the road next to the slow lane, which I would never be in anyway, but if I was in the slow lane, I'd pull over to the next lane. Now, let me
put
the switch. I'm running down the road in the fast lane, and the police have somebody pull over on the side.
On the left shoulder.
Pull over to the number two lane, get out of the fast lane, or is that
correct,
only for the slow lane?
Well, I mean, depend. I mean, if you're on a, no, this is only on the freeway now. It says freeway.
Yeah, it's only the freeway.
Okay, if you're on the cop or the fire truck or the Caltrans vehicle is flashing their yellow light, and they're on that far left shoulder, it is proper for us to move one lane to the right. Okay, it says make a lane, I'm reading the law now out of the CVC. Make a lane change into an available lane not immediately adjacent to the authorized emergency vehicle.
John, I can see how that worked pretty good again. Let's say the California freeway's got four lanes, the fast lane being number one, the slow lane being number four. If I'm over in number four, the slow lane, which again I would never be in my life, on the side of the road, if they got somebody pulled over, I can see moving over into the third lane. But I'm having a little difficulty accepting the fact that if I'm in the number one fast lane with tremendous traffic and somebody's going to pull over on the inside, you're telling me that I need to pull over to the number two lane away from the fast lane.
Or, Bill, or if you cannot make that move, the law says number CVC 218092, if the maneuver described in paragraph 1 would be unsafe or impracticable, slow to a reasonable and prudent speed that is safe for existing weather, road, and vehicular or pedestrian traffic conditions. Okay, so it doesn't say, you'll hear rumors around this, oh yeah, you gotta drop to 20 miles an hour, but that's not it. You know, if you can't make that move out of the way from that lane, you just drop your speed off so you're not going to dust the cop's hat off as you go by.
That's what I appreciate, John, because I got simple questions and you give me the answers in simple language. So you're saying that if I cannot get out, as long as I drop my speed off, make an attempt and all that, I can just continue to roll on by.
Exactly.
You know, like in the fast lane. Drop over to lane two, as long as I back off my speed, make an attempt to get over towards the second lane anyway. If there's heavy traffic, I should be good to go.
Yeah, because they're going to, I mean, you're riding a bike, too. Okay, this law is made for everybody. You know, a tractor-trailer going by this guy at 70 miles an hour, going to blow his hat off. Okay, but, you know, if you and I were going down there and we just dropped off our speed a little bit and moved more toward the right side of our lane, I mean, nobody's going to bitch about that. Okay? Now, also, there's an email going around that is saying that the fine for that is $754.
Well, that's steep.
It is. It's not true, also. The CBC says a violation of Subdivision A, punishable by a fine of not more than $50.
Okay. Well, what you said about just makes good common sense, because I'm thinking is every time I've seen a situation like that and I'm in the number one lane, my tendency is to move away anyway because I don't know if the cars have some type of a trouble, fire, I don't know what's going to go on, so I give myself distance anyway. So that makes sense to me. And if I'm ever in the slow lane, which I'm never going to be, I don't really care, I guess. My case is on the fast lane. The slow lane is the freeway. That's the only reason to have a slow lane.
Yeah, well, that applies to us truckers, too. The truckers, even truckers don't like to stay in the slow lane simply because you've got to deal with everybody that's merging and everybody that's getting off, and that's why you'll find most truckers running that second lane. Now,
correct. Plus, all the debris that comes off on the freeway ends up on the shoulder or in the slow lane. So
exactly.
I'm always watching out for that. I try never to get in that lane. Things just fall off the car. Somebody's got his stroller on top of the car. It falls off. Somehow it always seems to get knocked into the slow lane or off to the shoulder. That's why I'm afraid to get in that lane. I want to get in the fast lane.
Hey, John, I have somebody that wants to ask you a question. I'm going to bring him in right now, okay?
Who do we got, Bill?
This would be Jen out of North Carolina. Hello, Jen.
Oh, really? Hi. Good. Hello, Jen.
Hey. Welcome. Welcome. Welcome to Bikers of America. Hey, how you doing?
Good yourself.
Good. Hey.
Accent.
Yeah. Hey, Bill and Bill, great job on the show tonight. Mac, I wanted to let you know, okay, in Massachusetts, okay, very important that you know this, you cannot secretly record the police.
I don't do it
now,
secretly. I take it out and set it on the seat.
Yeah. You know,
my hand.
Let them know that you're recording, and then see what they do. You know, but there is a law that Massachusetts has, and I remember because I lived in Massachusetts at one time. Okay, there's a law that if you get a phone call in Massachusetts, nobody can record you unless they tell you, I'm going to record this phone call. Do I have your permission to do that? Okay, and that same law allows the police officers on the street to say, look, I wasn't, you know, you're secretly recording me. You are under arrest. And that,
I want to say, go ahead, finish up, please. Go ahead.
Yeah, and that is being contested. It has been contested in court, and I looked into three or four of the court cases. I think that three out of four of them, the state won. They actually convicted some people, and one person at least. Ended up doing some time. You know, it was a short amount of time, but any time is a hell of a lot of time when you think that, you know, you've got the liberty to do this. But
you know, that was so important because sometimes we forget, and John reminds me over in our John Del Santo, Phil and I are talking about California laws, so anybody in a different state, please double-check your own state because we're gathering information about different states, see how it applies to our state. If you hear Phil and I say something, remember, that's for California. Check your own state, please. But if you do
right.
Something based upon what we said and you go to jail, Phil and I send you a few bucks for some, candy.
Yeah, food,
candy. We'll do that for you. You know, but
a file.
Your state,
suit, whatever you need,
yeah.
We'll help you out. But
yeah.
Put a file in the cake.
Now, the that law about taping on a telephone or taping, that law varies from state to state. If you and I are talking and I tape you and you don't know it, and then I go post it on the internet, yeah, I'm going to be breaking some laws on that. But the way that the U.S. Secret Service guy told me, and these guys are, you know, countrywide, he said that any variations would, he says there is no law that would prohibit me from taking photos or videos of a Leo, law enforcement officer. He said any variation would be something like taking the photos of a cop who's working undercover, take a picture of a cop and then post it on the internet showing, like, crosshairs on the cop's forehead, or and the other thing is taking his or her photo for the photographer's sexual gratification. I couldn't figure out.
Right.
Okay, but now
Karen's getting a kick out of that one. Hey, John, you did a lot of work. John did a lot of work. I just wanted to mention he did a lot of work, and I think that we need to post that somewhere or in a couple of places.
Jan, do I have your email address?
Can you go on boltusa.org?
Yeah, sure.
Great, post it there.
Well, I'll send a copy of this. I'll send a copy of the whole thing that I did. And Jan, you got to go.
You can post it. You can post it. You've got posting rights.
I don't know.
I will for you.
Okay.
If you're not, you're talking to the person that can do it for you, John.
Yeah, okay,
right.
Good.
Yeah.
Dan, hey, Jan, you got to remember, talking about Massachusetts,
right.
They are a little weird up there.
Fighting words.
You can murder somebody, and then if you can swim fast enough, you can not only get away with it, but you can be elected as a senator for the next 40 years.
No, that's Tennessee. You're talking about Tennessee.
No, I'm talking about...
you are. You're talking about Massachusetts. I know you are. I'm giving you a hard time, John.
the long-distance swimmer of Chappaquiddick. You know, that guy.
And 1 second, please. I want to remind everybody, I came to California in 1965 from South Boston, where I grew up until I came out here in 65. So be careful on picking on the South Boston people.
You got him from the west, I got him from the east.
Hey, the only reason Bill said that is because he doesn't like snow.
A lot of people move because they don't like snow. Karen, when are you going to move? Because where you are, you've got snow.
I do have lots of snow. I do want to ask you a question about the Massachusetts law when you said that you cannot secretly record the audio. Can you just tell them you're recording? You mentioned that you should ask, or can you just say, I am recording this. Stop.
Well, if it is very obvious, like for instance, you've got a microphone in the guy's face. Okay. You're not secretly. Okay. Now the other thing is that it only applies to audio. You can video all you want. But if your video recorder has audio capability, so that's the law. And, of course, like the ACLU is going to be all over this. And there was a lawyer who has a case, and I think there's currently a case happening. So hopefully we'll get some changes. But I'll tell you one thing. You know, I do like that law in one aspect. If the government calls you up, unless they've got a warrant, they cannot just start recording your conversation. You know, so that's a good thing, too. So, you know, it goes, you know, it's 5-4, 5 against, you know. I don't like to be recorded by the government in secret.
Right. Well, no one. Yeah, no one does.
Right.
But they're doing it anyway.
Right.
They're doing it every day.
Right. Anyway, John.
NSA. Well, the NSA. I'm sure.
about the guy at the FBI that recorded all those conversations and said he didn't do it in front of Congress.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Philip, in answer to that, you know, I went and I asked for my freedom of, you know, under the Freedom of Information Act, you can request any records that any government agency has on you. I mean, everybody from the DMV up to the FBI, you can ask and they got to show you, you know, they got to show you what they got. So they sent me my record. The FBI sent me my record showing that they had nothing on me at all in their records. Now, look, I've been a radical. I've got relatives who are fugitives. You know, I belong to back in the Vietnam days and the Atomic Energy Commission days. Man, I know I got pictures around from things that I did. And yet the FBI says, oh, no, we got nothing for you. So, you know, you got to believe that their records are not exactly up to date.
Now, the only guy that had all the dirt was Hoover.
Well, you know, I think that now that Philip has called me on my phone and I have called Philip on his phone, I am now a known associate.
There you go. What are friends for?
Thanks, Philip.
Well, guys, when Carlsbad Police Department went to switch the computers, I ran right down there and I said, can I have all of those pictures you took of me when my hair was dark? And they said, no, once we put them into the computer, we have to destroy everything. I was thinking, this could be so many happy memories. They're my pictures. Why couldn't I have them?
Oh,
no, we can't do it.
Album.
Who was it?
Hey, Bill,
what
you can take your driver's license picture and a black marking pen. You know, or write another where it says hair color, just write chrome.
Hey guys, I'm gonna drop off the line, but you have a wonderful show, and I'm gonna go back into the chat. Okay.
Okay.
Have a great one. Thanks.
Good night,
and Jan, I already sent that. I already sent that thing to that email to Philip, so he'll get it to you.
Well, John, she left already.
Okay. Well, anyway, I already emailed that to you, Philip.
Okay. Thank you. Hey, Karen.
Yeah.
Karen.
Yes.
You got any questions for John?
No, I don't. I'd like to have a copy of that too, if that's all right.
I'll send you one.
Okay.
When you send me a picture.
What? No.
LOL. No, I'm just kidding. I'll send you one.
I know. It's from earlier this week.
I was going to show Bill that picture, but he'd want to know what you look like, too. He didn't want to see your back. He wanted to see your face.
An innocent person over here. Phil led me down the road astray. I was such a nice kid.
I didn't lead you anywhere. You followed.
That's it. Half the trouble I get into is because he told me don't stand for it anymore.
Yeah.
We don't have to be troublemakers. We just have to be United States citizens, and that's exactly what we are. I say over and over again, when you stop, what do you say, Phil?
Shut up.
So simple, so easy, and yet we don't do it.
And get educated.
Still out there? Did I lose you? I'll just say good evening anyway. All right.
Okay.
Oh, John, you're still there.
John, you're still there?
John is here, yes.
Yeah, I have a question about the Patriot Guard for the Vietnam Moving Wall. Did I mention to you, or were you able to contact them to give me any advice or anything on that?
Oh, yeah, sure. And I left a message at your house on Monday. So, I sent it out. They sent it out to all of the PGRs in this, you know, in the San Diego area, you know, lower Southern California. And it was sent out with my phone number that if anybody was interested, call me. And I haven't heard anything yet.
Good, I appreciate it.
Another thing I'd like you to do, John, is that run to the wall has been canceled. If you would report out.
The motorcycle community was divided on this one, John, and we did not want to cause division. I don't like causing division. The police station, or the city hall, but the motorcycle community was just too divided on this, and we did not want division in the motorcycle community. John, I want to also say here was anything you need to reach me, please fax me or email at Phil's house. Right now, you know, my wife's health is so bad that if you call me at the shop, I get messages, but at home, it's catch as catch can. So if you need to reach me, just fax me or call me at Phil's house. I'll get the messages. Okay, buddy?
Okay, cool. Now, I started about a month ago, 5-6 weeks ago, I started to put together a run for that April 17th, April 18th, right in there, the hell was that guy's name with the one if I land and two if I see?
Paul Revere, he got arrested, he didn't make
it. I was going to call Paul Revere, get a memoriam for him, let's show him who we are. And I got the same reaction that Philip just said that he had. I had one guy who thought it was a good idea.
I had three.
And I had saying
four.
Well,
a whole lot against them.
Yeah.
Hey, let's make it a coffee party or a tea party or let's do this or let's do. Everybody had a different idea, and I just finally said, "Bob, screw that."
Well, actually, what I'd like to do is let everybody know that on April 11th at Bill's, we're going to have the Paralyzed Vets Run.
We have a run from the VA hospital in San Diego. It's going to go up to my shop, and at that my shop, we just invited the mayor to come down. I'm going to get a proclamation declaring it Paralyzed Veterans Day in the city of Oceanside. He's going to present that proclamation to the people at the VA hospital. We'll have several vets there, a lot of partying, a lot of this, the regular stuff we do, but... Phil and I try to acknowledge our veterans 100%. And then 4 days later, boom, the Vietnam Movement Wall comes to Oceanside also. So.
Yeah, and the other thing is that, John, I'll send you the link. You can go look at it. But what I'd like to do is let you guys know that the Marine Corps tribute bike is sending me two laminated portraits of that bike for a raffle. And the money's going to
Wow.
Be-
Okay, well, just let me know whatever you need, and I'll post it. Like
sure.
I said, when I post something, it goes out to more than 4,000 people.
Okay, and then what we're going to do is raffle those off and give the money to the vets.
Okay,
the paralyzed
cool.
vets at the VA hospital there in La Jolla. We'll do it at
yeah.
the event itself, and then, like I said, have a raffle and or an auction. I don't know what we're going to do, but the representatives will be there, and we'll have them take the money right there on the spot, so there's no... We make it anything out of it. Everything's above board with Phil and I.
Now, the money is going to go to where now?
Paralyzed Vets Association, the VA Hospital, La Jolla.
We're going to have two of them. So one I'd like to give to the money to the paralyzed vets, and the other one I'd like to do is on the Wounded Warrior Project.
Okay, now that guy, or the woman who's running the paralyzed vets now, if it's still her...
That's
if
Kelly
it's still
Price
her,
Noble.
I'm sorry, what?
Her name is Kelly Price Noble.
Oh, okay, yeah. Now, she seemed to me to be a straight arrow, but we had some problems with the people before that. We started, Fran and I...
The VA hospital since 1969, in my opinion. The VA hospital is one aggravating quagmire, but there are good people in the VA trying to help out.
Okay, good, because... the first two runs, those ride, stride, and rolls, the
yes.
vets never saw a dime of that money. So, but that Kelly seems to be doing, she seems to be a straight arrow.
John, I got to tell you, we raised money to purchase a van because we found out that the people in the wheelchairs that take the city buses to get to the VA hospital, there was not one handicapped van available. We raised money through those runs to get the van. I think it's a 16-passenger van or something pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's got a wheelchair lift and everything on it.
Do you know what the VA said to me afterwards, the first year after we did it? They said, Mr. Kennedy, we're going to have to let the van go. I said, what, are you crazy? I said, you don't even own the van. We technically gave the van to you. It's all our money. They said, well, yes, but it's not government money, and you didn't give us any money for tires, for gasoline, for insurance, for drivers. And I said, all right. We'll try to raise more money. That's our VA hospital, which, John, do not start me on the VA hospital tonight, brother.
Okay. Okay, because the two runs that we had, the ride, stride, and roll, that was to raise money for drivers and insurance and gasoline and tires.
Yes, because after we got the van, the VA hospital said to me, well, there's no money allocated for that, Mr. Kennedy. Do you want to take money from a different area? If so, where do we come from? And I'm saying, listen, we ended up getting volunteer drivers. We did this, we did that. But every time, first of all, you know, I go down to the VA, I go down to help the vets all I can. Every time I talk to that organization, they just drive me crazy. It takes I have to bite my tongue not to go crazy there, John.
And what I'd like to do is thank you guys for calling in. We're getting a little short here. I'm going to close it out with an appropriate song. So I'll be in the chat's going to be up till the song ends. So let me know what you guys think about this song. This is a special song I just picked it out now for what you two guys are talking about. Karen, thank you for calling in. John, thank you for calling in. Jan, thank you for calling in and typing in the chat. I appreciate it, you guys.
Basically, thanks for everybody. Remember, it's
everybody.
Our neighborhood. It's all our neighborhoods together, guys.
And please, tell your friends. Tell them to tune in.
Tell us how we can make the show better, guys.
Exactly. But right now, I'm just gonna close it out with a song, and I thank you guys again, and we'll see you next week.
Okay, buddy.
Anyway, and that's a cold shot, baby.